Offer up to the Lord a short word in prayer. Our loving Father, we approach your presence with reverence and with godly fear. We thank you for your eternal greatness, thou art great and greatly to be praised. We thank you for your great plan, a plan that would vindicate the very righteousness of God and make salvation possible for all men. Sometimes we think and we speak of the plan of salvation as though it was exclusively for our salvation, but it was first for your glory. And in that plan, man's salvation was included. So we thank you, O God, for the Lord Jesus, who came in your own timetable. Praise you, O God, for the great work that he accomplished. And this morning we come because you commanded us to come and to remember you. We look back on the great work of salvation. We look forward when we shall fully enjoy the blessing that God brought to us. Lord, we ask you, will you open your word this morning? Lord, we ask your help. We feel so inadequate, O God, even to open the word of God. But Lord, we come in total dependence upon you, that you would help us. We give you thanks in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank the dear saints here for remembering us, my wife and myself, and the entire family. This is a time of real experience that we have never experienced before. And we need to pray for each other. But anyway, we want to look at God's word. Today is the fifth Sunday. And all the years of the fifth Sunday, I always have to remind the brethren that this is a fifth Sunday. Well, I didn't forget it was a fifth Sunday, but I looked to the Lord for the matter. So we would, if you would kind enough to turn with me, the prophecy of Isaiah, the very first chapter, chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. And verse 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And that's the only verse that I would like to read at this time. And we know that God promised to bless his word and is faithful to do so. I'm not going to speak about Isaiah so much. I'm going to pay tribute to him. Could you hear me, or am I too loud? Thank you. Okay. But I'm looking at these four kings of Judah that Isaiah wrote about. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. There is something about these four kings in reference to the house of God. Got to make sure. I got to bear with me. Of course, I look at the funeral for this great baseball player, and I noticed the preachers did not use a mask, but that doesn't mean that I don't want. Okay. So we have Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. That's what Isaiah saw, and Isaiah must live to see the end of the lives of these four kings. They had something in common with the house of God. Uzziah was thrust out from the house of God. And all week I plan to speak on those four kings. And this morning the Lord told me no. Hold on. 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord says, no. But anyway, Uzziah was thrust out from the house of God. Maybe the Lord don't want me to speak. Then Jotham repaired the house of the Lord. Ahaz shut the doors of the house of the Lord. And Hezekiah, of course, his own, opened the doors of the house of God. And the Lord wanted me to speak on the godly life of Hezekiah. Those four kings. But when you think of this great Isaiah, it tells us more. You know, when you go to the Isaiah chapter 6, Lord, help me. Isaiah chapter 6. A lot of brethren read that chapter and they said that God had to remove King Uzziah for Isaiah to see who God is. It's not in the book. All it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And we said that God had to remove Uzziah for Isaiah to see. Isaiah tells us more about God, about the Lord Jesus, and more than anybody else. Oh Lord. And Isaiah takes us okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Isaiah takes us from the womb of Mary to the very throne when the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne of David. I hope I'm not annoying you today, but I just enjoyed it. The leg is not so good. I enjoyed the word of God. And then, of course, Isaiah tells us so much about Israel, past, present, and future. All right. So anyway, we come to the godly king of Judah. They had some bad blood, you know. Second Chronicles. Trevor, I'm not going to be too long, but if I look at you and you give me your hand like that, I can't see that clock so good, you know. As you get a little older, you don't see so well. I have a Bible here, and large print. Thank God for that. So we're going to talk a little bit about King Hezekiah, a godly king of Judah. Not only godly one, but thank God for godly men and godly women. Second Chronicles chapter 29 and I shall read verse 1 as we go along. Couple of verses. Second Chronicles chapter 29, and I shall read from verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. I want to remind you, we just mentioned before, of Hezekiah's father. Hezekiah's father was a worshiper of idols. Thank God for those fathers that have godly children. But Hezekiah, of course, is in reverse to that, he had an ungodly father, Hezekiah. And you would think, here is a man who ascends the throne, and his father was an idol worshiper. Don't let this bother you too much, my dear brethren, if I don't. God will preserve good tidings. You don't believe that? Now, don't let this bother you too much. Please, depend on my message. I know we're supposed to obey the law. No question about that, you know? But as you understand, you must understand it. So Hezekiah had an ungodly father who was an idol worshiper. His father went to Damascus and he saw an idol. Now, you want to know, because all those four kings are right together in Second Chronicles that start with 20, 26, 27, 28, 29. And so you want any information that I may not turn to, you could find it right here. And in the case of Isaiah's father, if you go back, you don't get it in Second Chronicles, you would get it in the king's account. This man went to Damascus and saw an idol. He sent back the pattern and the workmanship of it and to a priest, and he made it. When Hezekiah's father returned, he went to the idol. He went to the idol that was made. He's returned from Damascus to Jerusalem. And he bent down, he kneeled down, and he worshiped the idol. But what impressed me, he had his burnt offering, whether it was made of a piece of wood. The man bent down and he worshiped, he offered his burnt offering, his male offering, and his everything. What impressed me was, he knew something about the burnt offering, the real offering, the sin offering, but did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I hope we don't have any one of us here that you know what to do. You know the hymns to give. You know the hymns that you shouldn't give. You know all those little things. But you don't know the true God that we serve. And if you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, we ask you to do so. I went to a funeral the day after Christmas to show my presence to a man that we grew up together, a man about 8 years older than me. He was 101 years old. We grew together. We grew in like one house, my father's family's house and his family house. But Anyway, this is what I wanted. When I talked to him, he would tell me that he wants to wait for judgment day. Judgment day. You can't tell him about the gospel. You want to know about judgment. Anyway, let me forget about that. So I said to someone here who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is calling you to come and come today. No, wait about judgment day. But the real judgment day is so late anyway. Some people doesn't know that. Anyway, we speak of Hezekiah's father. But what I want to say about Hezekiah, that Hezekiah did not pattern his life by the life of his father, nor any of his fathers throughout the book. But he patterned his life by the word of the living God. So my first point is that, and let's read it from the word of God. I even forgot my thing, but maybe maybe I don't need it. It's the print that I'm you could bring it by. I forget whether I need it because the print is large. Thank you. I don't know. It says, verse 2 and 3, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, verse 2, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. That's my first point. So you wonder if I have to talk about 10 points. So Hezekiah was a man of action. That's my first point. But my first point was that he did not pattern his life by the lives of his father, nor the lives of anyone that was not consistent with the holiness of God. So my second point is that Hezekiah was a man of action. He did not spend a lot of time to talk about the condition in Israel, the low web in Israel, the first day and first month. Hezekiah opened the doors of the house of God and repaired it. That's a good exposition of a good leader or a good king. Now you can have a man to come and give us some message on good leadership, right? And you could take a month maybe to give the message on good leadership. But Hezekiah did it in a couple of minutes, as long as it takes to open the door. As soon as you got ascended the throne, just something. Man of action. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to read about it or write about it. But we need action, brother. Amen? Oh, yeah, no amen. Oh, God. All right, I understand you agree anyway. You have to agree that it's action, brother. Your behavior and everything else is action. But you have to come and help me. No, thank you, I did. You thought you were that on? Excuse me. Yeah. Yes, I said, Hezekiah was a man of action. Didn't spend a lot of time to talk about the failures of his father and others. But open the door. And then he said, today, they go on. He brought in the priest, was for. And the Levites, and gathered them together into the hill street, and said unto them, Mary Israel, Mary me, the Levites, sanctify now yourself, and sanctify the house of the Lord God, and carry forth the filthiness in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah called upon the priest and the Levites. You know, the sanctification starts with us. We sometimes like to think about that God sanctified us long before we came into this world, because chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wonderful, and that is the truth. And we talk about the sanctification that God has done. But when it comes to practical sanctification, the house of God needs to be sanctified. There was a lot of rubbish in the house of God. But Hezekiah called upon the priests and the Levites, sanctify yourselves now. And and sanctify the house of the Lord God, and carry forth the filthiness out of this place. So Hezekiah, not only a man of action, but he was a good example of holiness, godliness, because he knew that sanctification begins first with the people of God, and then the house of God. The house of God is important. Wonderful, nice building. But the people of God, there is nobody on earth like the people of God. So he was not only a man of action, he was a man of order. There must be order. Whatever that you do, it must be, you can do a good thing, but it must be done in order. So he was a man of order. Of course, Hezekiah was a man of good principle. And as you read on in that chapter, you will notice that there was acknowledgement of sin. Remember, you read that, keep reading on chapter 29, verse 3, 4, 5, 3, 4. He realized that there was acknowledgement of sin, confession of sins, and a purpose to turn to God. He acknowledged that. This is what. And then what we noticed was as we go through the chapter, you know, in verse 9, if you forget, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and verse 9, it says, our fathers are fallen by the sword, and so on. And a little later, you will notice the prompt obedience by the priests and the Levites to sanctify the house of God. And as you go on, they did it in 16 days. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. He says, now they began on the first day of the first month and sanctify on the eighth day of the month, and they do the court of the Lord. So they sanctify the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Prompt obedience by the priests and the Levites. And I did everything. How much more time I have finished? Oh, I don't see the clock. Anyway, I have to hurry up to go home for my wife anyway. So 16 days, everything was clean up. The house of God. And there was real joy in Jerusalem that they had cleaned up the house of God. When we come to there was a real revival in Jerusalem under the reign of Hezekiah, a godly king. You know, when you go through the kings, the lives of the kings of Judah, there is Hezekiah with a father that was ungodly. You go to another king there, Josiah, a godly king. When the Josiah read the word of God and realized that his fathers have gone astray, Josiah wept, cried. the war of its king. Josiah comes. I just mentioned Josiah. He wept. But when his children was born and gave them the word of God, the hardest paper or traitor. The traitor. You remember that? What I'm showing is there is a godly son, Hezekiah, who had an ungodly father. And in the case of Josiah, Josiah was a godly father and he had ungodly children. Pray for our children. I pray for them every day, the children and the grandchildren. None will perish. None will perish. As one would say, how shall we go? And the children are not with us. I don't want you to annoy too much all over the book. But it's a year now. Almost a year, you know. March 15th was the day that the church closed down. I don't forget that day because I was hoping to let you know that March 15th, 14 was my birthday, that you closed down the 15th. I don't forget that. It's a long time, you know. Time goes fast. Fast. But a quick response by the priest and the Levites and the there was wonderful time. I notice if you would read that chapter carefully, you would see something in there, chapter 29. You would see that, I'll read the verse for you. Verse 27, 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, and verse 27. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpet. You can read that over for yourself. Then you see was rejoicing. But when the burnt offering began, but you know before the burnt offering began, the burnt offering is all about God's portion. But as I study it, the sin offering was offered before the burnt offering. God must get his portion first. But the sin offering was offered first. You know why? You don't know why? You should know why. Same principle when we have to come to God. There was sin in the camp. And because of sin, the sin offering must take the first place. Do you know that? When you come here to worship the Lord, what did the Lord say to you? Something that is very simple. He said, if you have anything against your brother, right? Go and settle it with him. That's the sin offering. And then come. So which go first? When there is sin in the camp? When there is sin in the camp, the sin offering takes the first place. Anyway, There was a wonderful celebration of the Passover. And the Passover was kept on the 14th day of the second month. When was this Passover supposed to be kept? What's that? And why was there a change? You tell me, brother. Was there a change? And where was it? I'm going to quote and give you Numbers chapter 9 and 10. God had made a change in case there was problem. The people were far away. And whatever it was, the Passover was kept on the 14th day of the second month, not the first month. Numbers 9 and 10. Can somebody open Numbers 9 and read verse 10 for me, please? Anyone? Numbers chapter 9 and verse 10. And I'm going to close. I'm not finished, but I'm going to close.
God to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord.
So the Passover was kept, and there was joy in Israel. So I'm going to close, but I'm going to just read something that is very precious. The same, okay. I want to read something that is very precious. Hezekiah started when in verse 1 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But I want to notice in all the chapters that have to do with Hezekiah, that the last verse of each chapter 29, and I read the last verse of 29, and I read the last verse of 30. Okay, I read the last verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. That's the end of chapter 29. Chapter 30. Verse 27. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people. And the voice was heard, and the prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. A joy in every end of every chapter. Chapter 31. Verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. God bless his wife.